Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, and I say all-new every week, but it is all-new every week. We're constantly modifying it, and I encourage you to go there today. Not only is it easier for all your real estate and homeownership experience needs, but also we have a new triple algorithm there that allows you to provide yourself with the best information available on the value of your home or any property, not just here in Western New York, but anywhere. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk, to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized, what we like to call knock-your-socks-off service. Check out that low-rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed all across upstate. But here in Buffalo, Niagara, it's 716-631-4800. All you have to do is enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. It doesn't have to be ours. And the Hunt Hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker. So you don't have to write down a phone number on anybody else's listing. All that stuff, all those numbers and names all over signs, just ignore them. Call 631-4800. Punch in the street number and you'll be prompted. It'll all be happening just that fast, much faster than even going to a website. It's a very active market out there, and I encourage you to consider the possibility of buying and selling a home today. And I know for some people it's discouraging because there doesn't seem to be enough inventory, but part of that is trying to figure out what to do with your house when you do find the house you want. And keep in mind that if you go through that process, there's only one kind of person to talk to, and that's Hunt Real Estate ERA agent, because they can give you the seller security plan, which nobody else can. Very simply, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's our guarantee to you. And that's 633-9400 for any details on that. Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. So call us here in the studio if you want to participate in today's show at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or *930. Those are all free calls, and this is a live show, so call us. And I'm sure you'll want to call this morning because we have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is a guest who's now, this is his sixth appearance here on our show, Rocco Termini, the president of Signature Development of Buffalo LLC. Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
It's been 2 years. I couldn't believe that since you were on last, and it's hard to believe. But I want to... Most of our listeners that pay attention to the real estate scene certainly know of Rocco Termini, but give us a little history on how you got in this business. I know this wasn't your first calling. You started as an accountant, I believe.
That's correct. So, that's a pretty boring job, and I wanted something a little more exciting.
More exciting.
That's exactly it. Something a little more challenging, something with a little more risk, and that all says real estate.
For sure.
So what we were seeing in Western New York was things happening in other parts of the country that weren't happening here. And that thing was loft apartments. And that was 15 years ago. And I decided at that point that Buffalo needed loft apartments. And I took a risk. We put the first apartments on Ellicott Street, the Ellicott Lofts. And all I can say is it took off from there, and now we have 700 apartments in Buffalo, and they're all full.
That's outstanding. Let me ask you. I hear rumors once in a while, lately now, that maybe we've pushed an oversupply of apartments. Do you feel that way at all?
Well, I think you have to bifurcate the market. Mm-hmm. You have to look at those that are affordable and those that are at the top of the market. I think the saturation is at the top of the market. those units that are over $1,500 to $2,500. I think there's only so big a market in this area to absorb those priced apartments.
Is there an oversupply then at the top of the market, would you say?
And
I don't know how you define that, but you would know.
The partnership right now is doing a study, a market study, to see how many are coming online, the higher-end apartments, how many do we have, and what the real vacancy rate is on those apartments. I think shortly you will know whether there is an oversupply. And I think you're going to know once the banks stop loaning money because they see the projects that are finished aren't renting up.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way for how do you do a study like that except by calling each of the landlords? Because there's no Bible that you can go to which talks about everything that's available from a rental standpoint.
It's not an easy thing. I mean, one of the things you look at is median income. How many people have an income that is sufficient to pay $2,000 a month in rent? And you can determine how many people there are in Western New York with that type of an income. You can determine how many apartments there are. You can figure out the percentage of those people that are going to be renting apartments as opposed to buying homes. And then you can do the math.
Well, let me ask you about that, because one of the things that we're having trouble with, particularly in downtown, is finding condos to buy. That there's plenty of apartments, as you say, in the high end. There seems to be, anyway. Not necessarily exactly what somebody might want, but there is availability, whereas there's very little bit availability in the condo market. Do you see, and we're going to talk about the tax credit issue in a minute, but when you redo a building like you do, you can't really turn it over for sale for a while because the tax credits, there's a clawback, I believe. So in the event that you get to a point where you can convert them, do you see that apartments will be converted to condos, or don't you see that the demand is there?
You have to hold them for 5 years. That's the law. After that 5 years, you can do whatever you really want to do with them. You'll see that the first building, the warehouse lofts that was owned by Jake Schneider, he converted that and successfully completed that. I think he sold out in 2 years. And the building has been completely turned into condos now.
Mm-hmm.
I think when more and more people look at what he's done, they may decide that that's the option they want to take. For me, I'm a holder of real estate. I'm an investor long term.
Mm-hmm.
My intention is never to sell my buildings.
I think not just you, but even if you look at companies like Blackstone that have, during the recession, bought single-family homes all over this country. Now, together with their new partner, own almost 100,000 single-family homes in this country, and there are hundreds of thousands that are owned now by investors. Though you would have thought that they would have turned those back into the market at one point or another, but they're not. So there's kind of a permanent undersupply of single-family homes in this country right now, at least in part because of that. And I think people that are good managers, good owners, unless they change their whole investment philosophy, will tend to hold on to the real estate that they own, or pass it on in some way, shape, or form without necessarily releasing to the market. But that doesn't address the demand. And I just wonder if you sense that demand. Like, our agents tell me regularly that it's hard to find residential condos for sale in the city itself.
It's very difficult because most of the real estate investors in Buffalo are very conservative, and they're more interested in holding their properties and not converting them. You know, you have the tax problem once you convert them to condos, and there's a lot of people that just don't want to pay the taxes on it. They'd rather keep their properties.
Capital gain.
That's correct.
So, yeah, and that I think is a disincentive then, and will contribute, I think, to the problem that you cited earlier, and that is that people at the top end of the market may prefer to own. It might seem romantic to rent for a while, or if they know it's a short-term situation where they're going to be in town only part of the year, for example, or there's a sunset out there where they're going someplace else. But there are a lot of people that want to stay here, and they want to stay in the city, and we just have a lack of availability right now. And so maybe they default to rent, but it's not necessarily a first choice. So you don't see among the developer community that there's any great incentive or drive to create condominiums, properties for sale, apartments, that is.
I really don't. I think when you get further down the road, you might have some people that will just build them for condos,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you're going to see a lot of conversions.
Well, it's a little disturbing to us.
At people in your business, it is.
It's a little disturbing because it's so difficult to find the right properties for people. And the attractiveness of things like what you've done is the fact that all the infrastructure's new. You know, the core infrastructure might be historic, but the walls, the plumbing, the electrical, everything's bathrooms, kitchens, it's all today stuff, as opposed to, in many cases, buying an old house and you're buying somebody else's problems, and then you have to go through the whole extent of issues that are tied to redoing a house, which is very common in our area today. So, well, I guess that's a little disturbing, but let's move on to another disturbing topic, the issue of the federal housing tax, or I should say historic tax credits. We were talking before the show started about the proposals now as part of the new tax plan, according to the president, that may limit or eliminate those. So tell us what you know.
Well, the framework of the new tax plan eliminates the historic tax credit. And the historic tax credit is really responsible for the rebirth of Buffalo. During the last 10 years, there were 64 buildings that were done in the city of Buffalo. And they all used historic tax credits because there's such a wide gap in the development costs compared to the rent for those units.
Let me stop you there because I know this will seem confusing to our listeners. They'll in many cases say, well, gee, isn't there a huge return on these projects? Don't they make sense financially? If they don't make sense financially, why would anyone do them? So how do the tax credits exactly work?
Well, the tax credits are 20% of your qualified expenses. So if, let's say, you have $1 million project, you get $200,000 in federal historic tax credits. Then you find an investor that needs those credits, and you then get them to invest in the project. And let's say they pay you 90 cents per dollar for those credits. So now you have $90,000 in additional equity that you can put into your project that helps defray some of the expenses associated with doing historic buildings, such as asbestos. Most of these buildings have large quantities of asbestos that is very expensive to remove, and they don't add any value to the building whatsoever. They're just an expense. So you have that additional equity, and then you have a state tax credit, and that works the same way. Its value is a lot less than 90 cents. It's worth about 65 cents. But those combined help defray that gap that we face in doing buildings in Buffalo because our rents are still too low to amortize the cost of these projects.
Let's just see if we can walk back through the math a little bit. That $1 million project, $200,000 in tax credits, how does that get to the investor?
The investor then gets those, they pass through to them, and they have a deduction then on their federal income tax of $200,000.
In 1 year?
In 1 year.
Wow.
But they pay $180,000 for them. Now, they also get some additional benefits over the five-year holding period, some depreciation, some asset management fees. There are some other fees that they collect during the five-year period.
And they
period.
Own a portion of the building.
Yes. They own 99.9% of the building. The owner owns 1% of the building.
Really?
For 5 years.
And then in 5 years, does it revert to the original owner?
There's a put. And so we have an option then to buy it for a predetermined price.
So I'm getting a million-dollar project for $180,000.
That's correct.
Wow.
But that's the only way you can pass the credits through to the investor.
It's all or nothing, then, it's almost.
That's correct.
Wow.
So really, the developer doesn't really make any money on these projects for the first 5 years. In return, they got the equity.
Beyond management fees.
That's correct.
Well, I think I've been enlightened, Rocco, and I'm certain our listeners have too. Now, so because this affects such a small percentage of the population, teeny, teeny percentage, this is one of those things that the government can kind of slide by the rest of the population, and all of a sudden it seems like a popular thing because you're going after the wealthy people in town and supposedly for the benefit of everybody else. How should our listeners react or act when they hear something like this? Should they be opposed to that because it would stop development in places like Buffalo? Or should they be in favor of it because it may imply that their overall taxes would go down?
The historic tax credit really costs the government nothing. There was a recent study done by Rutgers University that showed for every $1 in historic tax credits, there was $1.10 returned to the federal coffers.
In terms of new taxes, because you've got to revitalize something?
New taxes, because all those people working on there are paying payroll taxes. All the new businesses that come into those buildings, you have new people paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So the overall effect is zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very difficult to explain that to people. People don't believe that's the case. And the other problem is that most of the historic buildings are in the northern part of the country. In the new growing cities, there are no old buildings. Everything's new. So most of the Republican senators and congressmen are in the south or in the west, where there aren't any historic buildings. So there's no interest on their part to save the tax credit.
That is a dilemma, isn't it? Because not only do they have newer buildings, but they also have higher rents, proportionally higher rents, so that the need necessarily for tax credits is just not there.
That's right.
And they're fundamentally responsible to the people that elected them.
And so it becomes a regional thing.
Right, exactly. So this becomes, again, a red state, blue state kind of thing, because the blue states tend to be the ones where they're older states, more historic buildings, et cetera. Well, how do you see this shaking out then? We've only got about a couple minutes left before the break, but what do you see happening here, really? Because, I mean, there's all this negotiation that's going to take place over the next couple of weeks. I talked to a gentleman yesterday who runs the largest real estate organization in the United States, and we were talking about the mortgage interest deduction. And that, of course, is also on the table. So how do you see us all shaking out?
I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. I don't think Congress will repeal these tax credits. And, you know, the president was one of the bigger users of the tax credits. His hotel that he opened up last year in Washington, D.C., was in an historic former post office. He used the historic tax credits.
A lot of them.
A lot of them is right. So he's well aware of why you need these tax credits. He would have never been able to do that building without them.
Is this the normal horse trading? He's putting all the stuff on the table and then seeing what we can pull back off?
I think, you know,
or he has to pull back off.
You throw everything out and see what sticks. And I think that's what they're doing right now.
Well, I want when we come back from the break, I'd like you to talk about the current stuff. You've got some new stuff going on, and not just your stuff, but what other people are doing too. And then try to put that all in light of what's on the table. And I think our listeners are interested. Well, is anybody holding back right now? I know I'm interested because I don't want to see people hold back at this point in time because of the momentum that we all feel. And ultimately, that's what we want to talk about here on the show. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. One of the easiest things you can do is at HuntRealEstate.com is determine accurately the value of your property or any other property that you'd like to know about, and that's at HuntRealEstate.com. And it is the only place on the web where you can find not only a value for your own property or any property, but a complete inventory of everything that's available right now here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services, everything related to purchasing and selling and owning a home at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And for more information about our exclusive programs at Hunt Mortgage, which is also one of the sponsors of this show, one of which allows you to roll the cost of the home improvements that you anticipate into the mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after. And so you open your eyes wide open when you go into the purchase of a home. That's 633-3700 and ask for details about that and also about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan. These are only available at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you just want to pick up the phone and ask anything about real estate, call the Hunt Real Estate ERA Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400, one of our customer service reps. We'll either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So stop into one of our many open houses this weekend and ask how that might work for you. We have a very special show for you, and in my mind, one of the most important shows relative to the future of Western New York that we've done in a long time. And we've had some, I think, significant guests lately, including Matt Enstis from the medical campus and Tom D. from the waterfront. These are people that are helping to shape the future of Western New York. But also here in the studio with me is a gentleman who's actually shaped the future of Western New York, and that's Rocco Termini, who is the president of Signature Development Buffalo LLC. And we've been talking about really a significant component in the impact of the momentum and the growth redevelopment here of Buffalo that we all sense. And I always ask my guests, as you all know, who pay attention here on the show, that my great interest is how we maintain this momentum. And we're talking today about something that has the threat of really stymieing that whole development effort, and that is the disappearance of the federal historic tax credits, which is now proposed under the new tax plan. So before we leave that topic, just I think bottom line for a lot of our listeners would be, what would happen to downtown? What would happen to all the activity downtown if these went away?
It would stop dead in their tracks. You would see nothing happening in the city of Buffalo. If you look at what's going on in the city, how many real new construction apartment complexes have you seen? Maybe one or two in the last 10 years, but there were 64 historic renovations. That would just tell you that the numbers don't work for new construction.
Well, then, before we leave that topic, what would you advise our listeners to do? In terms of just if they're interested in the momentum of our community.
There's a very influential congressman in the southern tier, Tom Reed. He's the ranking Republican member of Ways and Means. He's the person that we need to contact and explain to him and his office how important this credit is to Buffalo and why we need to retain it.
And have you spoken with him?
I've spoken to some of his staff. I'm working with the National Historic Trust, and the Buffalo News the other day quoted his staff saying that he is interested in maintaining the historic tax credit. They've used it a lot in Cornell, where he's from, so he understands the value of the credit.
Well, this is I think, a critical matter for our community. And underlying all this, though, which we were talking about during the break, Rocco, is the fact that we have, by national standards, very, very low rents in this town. And you were talking about a high-end rent of being $2,500. Those of us who have kids that go to New York City to work or after they get out of college, and they're paying $3,500 a piece for, you know, apartments that were one bedroom that have been carved up into two, and then you have to sign away your life and get co-signers and parents to sign, and maybe it's $3,500 to $4,000. So do we really understand how good we have it here, or are there other components in the mix there that really don't make it so good?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, Peter. Rents are a function of the median income. Our median income is low, so our rents are low. So if our median income goes up, then rents will go up. So what do you really want? I think I want median income to go up.
Well, this is why we were talking with Matt Enstis about the impact of things like what's happening on the medical campus, as well as even what's happening on the waterfront now. And there's another RFP out now relative to a development site there. So do you see that there's hope on the horizon that our median incomes will go up, that the whole employment base here is changing fundamentally and for the better, or is it just on the fringes?
It's going up, but it's going up slowly. And you have to remember, the rest of the country is going up faster. So we're still going to be behind, even with our slow increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you've got a theory about what we could do about that, but we've got a caller on the line, Rocco. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Rocco.
John.
You know, I love this vitality, what's happening, across upstate in the downtown areas with the rehabs and of historic properties, et cetera. But I have a real concern, Rocco, I think that if this tax credit legislation was not renewed, I think the momentum might carry us through with some vitality. My concern is this. When you get away from the free market for a long period of time, it disrupts the supply and demand factors. And I think in the long run, it could be harmful if we don't terminate this type of program at a certain point. What are your thoughts on that? And I'll listen to what you have to say.
It's a very interesting question.
Yeah, if everything was equal, I would agree with you. But in most of these buildings, you have large amounts of asbestos that cost tremendous amounts of money to remove. We're doing a building now on Chandler Street where we have $1 million just in brownfields cleanup. All of these expenses add absolutely no value to the project. So how do you pay for them? And the only way you can pay for them is with the equity raised with the credits. If you were building in new construction, you would not have any of those expenses. So everybody would then move to new construction. You would have all your historic buildings left empty. They would fall apart. The local governments then would have to deal with them because they would probably get them in tax foreclosure. Local governments would have to demolish them. They would have to pay for the asbestos removal. And so where do you really save? Is it better to spend a few dollars to save these buildings or for the local government to get stuck with them?
It's always nice to talk in ideals. And it's nice to be able to say, shouldn't it be a function of the free market? But there's been so much manipulation of the free market that a free market really doesn't exist, except in kind of a...
In theory.
Gray area. Yeah, exactly. So, you point out, I think, and you've said it a couple times on the show so far, and that is that there are certain elements of the redevelopment process that have zero return. None. Zero. no one is going to pay you because you're a good guy and got rid of the asbestos.
Or the lead-based paint. Or the environmental problems that you run into.
That's right. No one's going to pay you for that.
No.
They'll pay you for the shiny new finishes, and that's about it.
Correct.
So this is something that I guess we have just have to come to grips with. And when, particularly in a town like Buffalo and Rochester and Syracuse and Albany, for that matter, where you've had years and years and years and years and years of next to nothing happening with these old buildings, except deterioration, where do you start?
You know, it's interesting. You can go to Europe, and every historic building is taken care of. They respect their historic buildings, and they have all kinds of government programs. It's only here in the United States where we really don't respect our historic buildings. And we have this attitude, well, tear them down. We'll build something new. But in Europe, you even have ruins that are saved, something that you can't even do anything with. They're just the remnants of an old building, and they save them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why there's such a different attitude in the United States as opposed to Europe.
Well, I think they're, in fairness, one might say there was this thing called the Marshall Plan after World War II, where we, the United States citizens, effectively subsidized a lot of what you're talking about for many, 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 many years. And had we not done that, there would be far more ruins all through Europe. I was in Berlin this summer, and we looked all around the city, and there's a clear delineation between what used to be the old Eastern sector and now what is now part of the whole city in the Western sector, back before the Berlin Wall came down. And it's astounding to me to see how bad the architecture is in that city, because that only on the Western sector did they benefit from the Marshall Plan. But the Eastern sector was actually larger, and it's basically pretty lousy stuff. And now new, because there's money attracted to a city like Berlin, there's new stuff happening, which is very interesting. So I agree with what you're saying. The government since then have picked up the ball and run with it. But we threw them the ball, and we gave them a great lifeline that largely rebuilt most of the cities in Western Europe. And we'll be right back with more from our Steers after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Go there today. Check out those algorithms. That'll help you figure out what your house or any house might be worth today. A very, very significant advancement in technology, and you can take advantage of it only at HuntRealEstate.com. And you'll also find a complete inventory of homes available here in Western New York and all across upstate as well. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. You've heard that already, and that you can reach them at 633-3700. And I encourage you to talk to them about that pre-purchase commitment, because there's nothing like going into your next purchase in a competitive situation, which it is often, with the equivalent of cash. And that's only possible through a pre-purchase commitment. Excuse me. Here in the studio with me today is Rocco Termini, who's the president of Signature Development of Buffalo, LLC, and we've been talking about, in my mind, one of the most important questions that we can be asking about the future of Buffalo, and that is, how do we maintain its momentum, and what are the components that will keep the momentum in this community going? And we've been spending a lot of time talking about the tax credits and the proposal at the national level and the new tax plan that's been proposed, that they be eliminated. But before we get to that, Rocco, we have a caller on the line. This is Tim from West Seneca. Tim, how can we help you?
Yes. How do you feel about the balance in the city of Buffalo downtown, residential versus commercial? Are they keeping enough properties commercial? More of a mix versus just turning all the commercial buildings residential?
Well, commercial is a broad category, as you know, Rocco, but I'll let you answer that one.
Believe me, if there was a market for commercial, every developer would be producing it. The problem is there is no market for commercial. And it's not just in the city of Buffalo, but you see malls, you see plazas, everybody with major vacancies because people buy things online. People don't go to bricks and mortar anymore.
Well, let me stop you there. Let's first of all define commercial for Tim and everybody else. There's various components of commercial real estate, one of which is what you do, and that's really investment real estate, and that's buying property to redevelopment to hold and to get a return on that investment for residential, let's say. Then there's retail, which is, I think, what you're referring to in your last statement. The retail market is shifting heavily. There's 2,700 stores that are set to close by announcement already in 2018 across this country, 2,700. And that's what's been announced. And there's been already some 4,000 that have closed this year. And so what you're saying is true. There's a major shift in buyer activity right now. But that's the retail sector. Then you've got office, too. And I think you're talking to some extent about office as well.
If that's correct. I mean, office, there's a large vacancy rate in the city of Buffalo.
Well, across the country. It's not just here. It's everywhere. Some cities are better than others, but office is tough.
A lot of people are working from home. They're not going to the office.
And that's the point. The way people work, just the way they shop, has changed, and technology has been the driver behind a lot of this.
And it affects the market, drastically affects the market, and we're seeing that. So it's very difficult to deal with commercial.
So as a basic answer to Tim's question is that there will be as much commercial as there's demand for. Would that be safe?
The market determines everything.
And it's probably truer in that end of the market than any place. Because what you've done, for example, and a few others that are the select few that have been successful at this, is to take some of that old retail and commercial or office space and convert it into residential space, in both in terms of apartments, to a much more limited degree condos we were talking about, and certainly hotels.
It's taken a lot of office space out of the market, and it's really helped the market because you eliminate all that space that can never be absorbed.
And we have more callers on the line. We must hit a chord out there, Rocco. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Yes, I'd just like to ask Mr. Termini's opinion about the Green Code and how it's affecting or not what he wants to do with regard to some of these former uses that which aren't allowed anymore and others are that weren't previously there.
That's an interesting question. I know you're intimately familiar with that. What is the Green Code, first of all, and how is it affecting what you're doing?
Well, the Green Code is a place-based development plan, basically. The Green Code is a good thing to a certain extent. But one of the things with the Green Code is that the development community really wasn't taking an active role when the Green Code was being rolled out. Most of the people that took a active role were activist citizens that were against development. So now you have a code that was really written by citizens and not the development community, and it's rather anti-development. So it becomes very difficult in neighborhoods to use to build with the Green Code unless you get variances.
What does it say in the Green Code that stops development?
Well, land costs are going up, up, up. So to amortize that cost, you need to build more concentration. Mm-hmm. And the Green Code limits you to three stories.
So that's what's happening to, for example, all the development that's proposed along Elmwood Avenue.
That's right. So if you have property values going up, you really need more concentration. You need more floors to amortize the cost of that land. That wasn't taken into consideration with the Green Code.
Is it aesthetics or is it fire? Or what's the three-story limit? What was the rationale behind that?
I guess they wanted the streets to look more like the old neighborhood instead of a new modern neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to get into the 21st century, and that really throws you back to the 20th century.
Or 19th century. We have another caller on the line, Rocco. This is Ed. Ed, how can we help you?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn something here. Thank you for taking my call. For every dollar that an investor makes, how much of it has to be your own personal money?
Well, in one way, shape, or form, 100%. But how would you answer that, Ed?
Well, in every project that we do, we have to have 25% of our own money into the project. But, Ed, you have to also remember that we guarantee the other 75. So if the project goes under, we've just guaranteed and repaid 100% of the project. So we're taking a lot of risk. So whether it's 25 or 100, it's a lot of risk on the part of the developer.
Yeah, there's no free money out there, I think, is the answer. Fundamentally, even with the tax credits, all that does is effectively buy down the ultimate cost to the end user, wouldn't
right.
you say?
I mean, that's right. We still have to come up with 25%.
We still have to come up with the cash.
Yes.
It's not like they give it away. This is very interesting, and it's been very enlightening for me, Rocco, to have you go into this kind of detail, and I'm glad that you've been able to make use of your accounting background to explain it to us all. Because people throw these terms around, and like you should know, and especially when you've been in the business for as long as I have, and I've studied this stuff, but it's still very hard to get what I would describe as understandable answers. And you've been great to provide that. We have another caller online.
Still screening.
Okay, thank you. But we'll wait. We're just going to get some more information on this caller in just a second here, but. Back to the fundamental point here, and the fundamental point is that because this is on the table now, Rocco, are people getting skittish in the development community? Are they backing off? Are they saying let's just wait and see? Or what do you think?
I think there's a lot of wait and see because the last thing you want to do is buy a building that you can't do without tax credits and get stuck with it. So you've got a lot of hesitation on the part of the development community.
Most interesting. We got a call from Syracuse. This is interesting. We haven't had a call from Syracuse in a while. This is Jana from Syracuse. Jana, how can we help you?
Hi. I was wondering if, as a developer or in realty, if people take advantage of the Brownfield Development Program in New York State, and if so, what is the benefit of selecting a property that qualifies for that program?
That's a very, very good question. We've talked about it before on the show, and it'll probably take another hour. But, Rocco, from your perspective, how advantageous is the Brownfield redevelopment opportunities?
I think without it, there's a lot of redevelopment that wouldn't be having. We're using it right now on a project we're doing on Chandler Street. And the cleanup cost alone is over $1 million because of large amounts of PCBs that were in the ground. And without that credit, you couldn't possibly pay to clean it up. And what they do is give you 40% of the cost of the cleanup, plus we're getting 24% of the cost for the rehabilitation of the building. So hopefully those two combined credits will pay for the cost of the cleanup.
So 40%, is that, again, a tax credit?
That is a reimbursable tax credit.
So
you don't have to have an investor. You get it back when you file your state income tax.
So you as the developer, that's a credit to you directly.
Yes, but don't forget, you still have to pay federal taxes on that when you get it.
Oh, you do?
Yes, so it's not a dollar for dollar. It's probably worth 65 cents to you.
This is very interesting, and I think we should probably have a chalkboard up there that everybody could see so we could...
We're going to have a tax credit 101.
Exactly, because I think part of the problem is that it is kind of a maze of things that you have to weave through to try to figure out how to put this package together, because ultimately you have to take a whole plan to your investors or to your bank or however you finance your projects. Tell us about Chandler quickly.
Chandler is a very interesting street in the city. It's heavily industrial, but it's two blocks from Elmwood Avenue, two blocks from Wegmans on Amherst. And we bought five parcels on that street. We own 80% of the street. And we're rehabilitating all the buildings on that street. And we're going to make them into high-tech business incubators. Very cool space like Google, We have volleyball courts, bocce courts, cornhole. We're going to have a brewery there. We're going to have a cidery there. So it's a spot where young people that are in software development want to work. And this is what we need in Buffalo. They have it at every major city, these Google-eyed spaces. And to keep people here in Buffalo, young kids, we need this type of development.
So this is your latest and greatest?
This is it. I saw the apartment market getting saturated, and you know we needed apartments, but now we need jobs.
And so tell me, are you working with groups like 43 North in this kind of project?
Not really. I've been doing this on my own.
I mean, just in terms of a feeder of space?
No. I've been doing it on my own. We're doing venture capital with some of the companies to get them in there.
Wow.
So we're doing a lot of interesting things just to get companies in there. And we have our first building, which is 80,000 square feet, has been totally leased.
Wow, that's exciting.
And it won't be ready till probably April next year.
Is that when the whole street will be ready?
No. No, the whole street will be ready in about two more years.
Excellent. Rocco Termini, president of Signature Development Buffalo LLC, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Been very enlightening.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank our listeners, and we'll be back again next week at the same time. This is Peter Hunt. Remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York is Hunt Country.